First Timothy 3:15. And we went to Matthew. We're bringing to a close for now our teaching Sacred Place. And I did promise to teach something I have to teach now. So I have to move as quickly as possible. First Timothy 3:15. If I tarry longer, thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself. Amen. In the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Now, in the morning, earlier in the first service, we looked at that phrase, house of God. And I showed you in 2 Kings 17, how it's a shrine that is in the mind of the New Testament writer. Where we looked at also Genesis 28 and compared it with Genesis 11. Where people think they were building a tower to heaven. No, it was a ziggurat. A ziggurat is the link between God's and men. So in other words, men were trying to build a house for God, and God said, no, that's idol worship. And I mentioned in the first service that, you know, this building is not the house. We can decide to change the way the building is. We have not touched the house of God. That's not the house of God. We can decide to increase the air conditioners or reduce them. Some of you have them reduced at some point. You want them increased at some point. You don't even know what you want. You know what I'm trying to say? We can say, all right, let's do this and put all that. But that's not the house of God yet. The house of God is the activities that take place when we come together. That one, you have no say. You can't say, can't we just be doing this? You know what I'm saying? Can we reduce the prayer and just add this one? Let's spice up the atmosphere. No. Then you are making the house of God or something. You can change the building, you can change the place you meet, you can change the kind of seats you use, you can decide. You know, you can do all those things. But the activities must not be determined by you. It's His house. And so, we said earlier on that we were trying to build a house from Genesis 11, but in Genesis 28, He built the ladder Himself. And when David said, I'm going to build you a house, He said, no, I will build you a house. And that's 2 Samuel 7. Now in 1 Kings 8, when Solomon was going to build the house, he said it there that this is not his house. That who is he to build a house for the Lord? Because the house of God is people. It's not a physical building. The physical building is where the house meets. But for the sake of where who we are, we treat where we meet with reverence. That's all. So we began to look at how to treat God's sacred place, a holy place. And I mentioned this. I said, you know, if it's the house of God, said the house of God is a union, right? Of what? Heaven and earth, mankind, God and man. So we said, and I gave an example that, you know, the different examples, that this house is God's house. Do you know how you behave yourself in someone's house? That's how you behave yourself in God's house. You behave yourself. You know, it's so funny, you get someone's house and then you just, or you bring a pillow. You know, there was a video like that I attended when I was in university. I'll never forget that video for the rest of my life. Brethren went with mattress and pillow. It's not a campo, a vigil. So, you know, I just noticed that the crowd disappeared. At some point, we were praying. At around 4 o'clock, when the guy saying, "Well, let us begin a round up," they just showed up on the back with mattress. No, there's mattress. There's mattress. So people carry mattress, the big ones. They come like this. I said, "What?" And one of them was an HOD. I said, "What?" So when they asked that they had a prayer department, so I said to join. When I joined the prayer department, only two of us were there. The HOD and myself. The HOD came late. So I sat him down and I said, you know what? We're going to revamp this department. So I was telling the HOD how to hold prayer meeting. So I said, no, we're going to go and meet somewhere where we're going to go to pray. This means we can't pray here. So when we had the first one, I took my disciples there. The man said, ah. He said, ah. I never knew this was what it was about. I said, this was about. And we prayed. So I told him to go to seminar. I think it was because I prayed. So I preached there. You know, the HOD of the prayer.
Literally, he came with mattress too, to sleep. So this is not your house. You just say, can't we just do what we like? What does that mean? You can't arrive when you want. I told you before service, I can't go to it. I said, and we saw it before the first service, that coming late to church is a sin. Now you can't control it. It's a sin. Amen? Well, you are the back, can you say amen? Thank you. It's a sin. Because I showed you, Jesus gave a parable of those who came late. Right? They came late. The parable of the ten virgins, it was about lateness. Lateness means you are not alert. Alert doesn't mean money. Lateness. You think, okay, you can just decide. Well, the moment we pick 7:30 and 10:30, that's God's time. You treat it as a sacred place. And I showed you earlier, I said, if this is heaven, this is heaven. We must treat this assembly like heaven and behave ourselves. Hallelujah. This is the house of God. Go to Matthew 18. It's the house of God. Many people are struggling in their Christian lives because of how they treated the church. I told one young man years ago. He began a ministry. So when he began the ministry, he got a job outside Nigeria. And immediately he got the job, he abandoned it. He didn't even hand it over. You know, if you are ever going to sin, sin with dignity. He just left it. So I told him, I said, are you aware that it's God's flock you treated that way? He said, yeah, but you know, I said, well, that's why he left it in the hands of God and all that. I said, write what I'm about to say down. Because you will need it. God will never use you again till you change your attitude. He laughed. I like when people laugh like that. He said, they won't. You have to treat his flock well. I'm not saying he couldn't have gone. No, he could have. But the way he handled it, he just left. I'm saying they came to fellowship and discovered their pastor was gone. He was gone. Totally. It's the house of God. There was a brother like that too. He was abroad. One of these Muslim countries. So I was his pastor. Jesus had Judas Abba. So I tried. So he had gone, but we prophesied over his life, prayed over him. This was late 96 or so. We prophesied over his life, we sent him forth in the work of the ministry. So he went, medical doctor. He went, and then he got opportunities, and he was able to minister in that country. And he raised disciples, a core Muslim nation. He raised disciples. He called me on the telephone, we speak in the days of Nitel, where you can tap, you know, tapping. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh gosh. When you want to tap 10, 0 is 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you miss it once, you start again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, that's 0. 1, 0, 1, don't even know what you want. The number that our house number was 7, 8, 0, 1, 7, 8, 2, 4, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 1, 2, 4, 7, 8, 1, 2, 4, 7, 8, 1, 2, 4, 7, 8. If you miss it, you start again. Because you can get somebody's number. You say, hello, who is that? You have to start over again. You know, so in those days, we would talk. That's why he stopped calling. You know, when people start doing things like that, he's now busy. I knew something was wrong. By the time he called back, he said he was so busy. He had already a job and a contract. Enough. Some of us, it's greed that is our problem. Greed. If you compare your life with people that you went to school together, sometimes you say, I'm not saying you should compare yourself. Well, sometimes you just look at yourself and say, I'm not just greedy. He had a job and a contract. Then he gave another one and he went for it. Then he now didn't have time. All the promises we gave in Lagos disappeared across the sea. So he now said that he just wants to hand over the fellowship for now. An underground church.
I mean, an underground church. Say one to one of the new converts. The guy is very active. I said, ha. He says for some time, so that he can focus on this one. He has never come. I said, look, the devil is going to get you the way you're doing. He will never come back to this thing again. He said, no, I should pray for him. I said, no, I won't pray for him. What kind of useless prayer is that? You know what you want to do. I'm not going to pray for you. And the fellowship and the church was handed over to a new convert, a Muslim that God saved a few months before. Today, he's now a DJ. From a missionary to a DJ. There's a song in Yoruba by Pastor Adelapo. May the end of your life, let it not be like Saul, that started with God and ended with idols. He's a DJ. I see him on Facebook, I laugh. You know why? Faithfulness in simple things. It's the flock of God. Even if it's just one person, two people, Jesus said that the shepherd would put 99 and go after one. Two people just traveled like that. Someone told me, he said, when I get to UK, this was another person. So when I get to UK, I'll just start up. He said, no, what about the ones you left in such and so place? And he said, I know that, I'll just trust God. I said, Mark, what am I about to say? So this is not prophecy. I said, you will keep hopping from one place to another. He didn't know how to hop. The person is still hopping. The last ministry the person belonged to was in 2020 or so. I've moved to another ministry now. I said, keep moving. You are the move of God. The moving around the place, because you have no consecration. You cannot treat the church. You can't just go and bail out. Same way your attitude to church. You just discover that some things of the spirit will just not work again. Because you deliberately come to church late. It's 7:30 as a service. Nothing held you bound. At least, you can't be convicted by Lagos traffic. Your house is just here. They are not doing Lagos to the expressway behind this place. So when you say, there's no traffic, there's traffic in Lagos. You know what I mean? Which Lagos are you saying that? Your house is just here. And then, you just come late. Why did you come deliberately late? Why? In the university, there are some lecturers, but most of them, when they enter the class, you can't come in again. There's no one dangerous one like that in my university. You come in 5 minutes before. 5 minutes before. Very wicked man. And he shut the door. So everybody will get very early at the door. Everybody at the door waiting. When you come to church, you'll now be coming in like beauty pageant. You say, come inside, sit there and say, sorry, can I just take a call outside? Lack of respect. Right in the service. Checking your phone. Say, Omo, I did church. Oh, I think it's preaching long today. By 1:15, I will jam you. you know, you are now saying that you are giving word of knowledge. He's not eating it. Who will talk to you? Who? That's it. You have to respect time. Look at you. You are old enough to be in church. That's if they come on, you see, they are bringing you to church. How do you even tell your friends? You are in your middle 20s or early 30s. I tell your friend, the person who is taking me to church has come. The person taking you to church, not in cow, because they are dressed up. 30s. People like that should be taking to children's church next time. Just direct them to children's church. So if you say A for Abraham, B for born again, that's what you should go and learn. How would you at your age are bringing you to church? That's children's church. If you have come the first time, then you come on your way. Amen? Up on Jesus. Thank you for Satan. Lie down. Punctuality. It's God you are respecting. It's God. This is God's house. It's not your cell leader's house. It's not my house. It's not Shelby Onoyinka's house. It's not your PCF coordinator's house. No! It's his house. is Garden of Eden. Are you here? We have the duty to maintain the house the way he wants it to be. Jesus got into the temple and whipped those guys. I mean, took the things out. I mean, he illustrated it to them and said, look, the house is a house of prayer. It's not a house where you bring in politicians to be talking to the people. That's an abuse. It's not a house where you bring in someone to come and be teaching business skills. It's an abuse. It's not a house where we come and show the latest dance steps in the world. Now, that's not an excuse not to dance. Someone say, I don't know how to rejoice in the spirit. What do I mean? You don't know how to dance, simple. You don't have your birthday. Come and dance for us. You dance, say, Lord Jerry, be in joke and say, glory, glory. Put your hands down. That is your Paul says, if an unbelieving person brings you to a feast, past party, go. If you can go. What have I just preached? Go soon. What did I just preach? So I go, thank you, Pastor. I love my pastor. That day, let me see. But you know what I'm trying to say? Go. They're not going to get there and be singing for the cross. I bow my knees. They're not singing good songs. I don't know which ones are good now. I mean, they're singing some good songs. I've forgotten one I want to sing, sorry. Bugao. I like that song. Bugao. They say, Bugao. Bugao. They're not serious. But that is a party. In church is different, right? This is his. That's why we don't clap for the Lord here. We're not in a stadium. Give the Lord a big hand. And your hand is small. No, clapping is not praise. It's not worship. We don't come here to display the latest dances and say, oh, we're singing a song and we're saying, Jesus has given to the Buddha. For me to say, No. Don't you know where you are? It's like you lift up holy hands. You bow your knees. You bow your face. Is that clear? It's his house. Is that very clear? How you ought to behave in the house. Are you here? Now Matthew 18. And verse 10. Or verse 20. You know, I showed you in the first service that Jesus said if your brother offends you, you go to him. Tell him his offense. Tell him what he has done. If he repents, you warn your brother. He said, if he doesn't repent, take two or three. Out of a matter of two or three, we said, two, three, three, they said, they'll be established. In verse 16. Then he says in verse 17, if he doesn't hear you, tell it to the church. Now, I told you in the first service that the church was like the highest authority. That when he doesn't hear the church, that's the end. So we saw in 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 5, 6, sorry, where Paul says, if you have any matter, rather than go to the court, go to church. Because the church is God's seat of authority. You will judge angels, you will judge the world. So we said the church is his place of authority. When you come together, this is his house. It's his control towers. Hallelujah. Alright, that's the church. So now look at verse 20, quick one. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And let me explain the word name. You know, we have said so far that the context of the New Testament is where? Now, the name of the Lord is not alphabets. No. It's not letters put together. The name of the Lord. It's an Old Testament subject, but let's say an Old Testament explanation, like a moniker of a sort. Moniker is like a nickname, an alias. When you say, in my name, is an alias. That something you use as a substitute for another. So it's not saying, what we say in Jesus' name. Mm-mm. The name here is not Jesus. Because Jesus is a human name. Jesus in the Hebrew is Joshua. So if he was referring to Joshua, there's nothing unique about that. Jesus means Joshua. So that's not the name he's referring to. So the Old Testament, how does the Old Testament speak of name? Now, go to 2 Samuel 6. I'm going to open just four texts for you. 2 Samuel 6. Deuteronomy 12. And verse 5. Read that last week. It says, "But unto the place that the Lord your God shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there." To put his name. That's not alphabet. To put his name. Look at verse 11. "Then there shall be a place where the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell." So, you can put his name. His name dwells. To dwell. Let me read that to you from the Septuagint, the longer text. To dwell. So his name dwells there. His name. Now go to Exodus 23 and verse 20. And verse 20. We've done these studies many times. In verse 20. "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." Let's take 21 together. Let's go. Where? "For my name," that's an alphabet. My name. So when they say name, name is another name, is another way to call God. The name of the Lord is the Lord. It's his presence. So it's a moniker, an alias. It's out of reverence. Rather than call God or Yahweh, they say the name. The name. So rather than call his name, just like rather than say the kingdom of God, they'll say kingdom of heaven. They are not two different things. It's a reverence to God. Rather than say call God, say heaven. So the name is an alias of the presence of God. The unique manifestation of God. The name. Look at Psalm 20. And verse 1. Psalm 20 and verse 1. It says, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend you." The name, the presence of the God of Jacob. Proverbs 18:10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now go to that 2 Samuel. Second Samuel, chapter 6. Now in the Ark, or in the temple, there's something called the Ark. And the Ark is meant to show the presence of God. So look at 2 Samuel 6, verse 1. "Again David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. Let's take two together. "And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judah to bring up from us," what? "The Ark of God." "Whose name is called by the name of the Lord God of hosts, that dwells between." Now the King James did an injustice here to this particular text. Let me read this to you from the Septuagint, which is very, very direct. 2 Samuel 6, verse 2. It says, "And David and all the people with him rose and went from the rulers of Judah in the ascent to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is the name of the Lord God Almighty, who he seated before the cherubims is invoked on it. So it says the name is sitting somewhere. So the ark is also called the name of God, the name of the Lord. So the name of the Lord is his revelation. It's not letters. It's not a surname. No. It's another name to say God. So when Jesus says, in my name, it's an Old Testament expression of the presence of God, the power of God. Look at John 17. John 17. Look at verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. O now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self for the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Let's take 6 together. Let's go. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, I gave that to me. They have kept thy word. I have manifested your name. Look at verse 26. I have declared unto them thy name. So you can see name and person are the same. So the name of the Lord is the Lord himself. So when it says where two or three are gathered in my name, it's like saying in my house. Where I am. There I am in the midst of. Look at Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 9. After this manner pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now you can change that word to hallowed be your house. The name here is the temple, the holy ground. Hallowed be your house, where you are, where you dwell. Look at 1 Kings 8. 1 Kings 8. When Solomon built the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8. Look at verse 29. Let's take it together. I'm going to read from verse 29. Let's go. I won't follow. Let's go. Night and day, towards the place which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken to the prayer which thy servant shall make towards this place. So when it says, my name shall be there, is that my presence? I will be there. So, the name of the Lord, when we come together and say, in the name of the Lord, this is the house of God. The house of God and the name of the Lord are synonymous terms. So we must treat our gathering with reverence. We must respect where we are. This house, this gathering, carries God's authority. I must know where I am and behave that way. Hallelujah. Now, last week I also mentioned why we ought to treat one another with honor and how we must receive for one another. Now I'm going to just share this. Like, is this like a deviation? But it's not. You know, many of us do not know how to receive from those close to us. That is, those who are around us, particularly family. And we need to learn. You know, in the Bible, in scripture, the first manifestation of sin, you know, we know Adam and Eve, but we can't exactly tell us what they did except that they ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Then there's a lot of debate. What is it? Is it unbelief? But where you will see sin in manifestation, the first time sin was mentioned in the Bible, Genesis 4. You know what? It was between two siblings. The first manifestation of sin in the Bible was in family. Cain and Abel. It was in family. A brother and his brother. It was in family. And here is Abel. He's a priest of God. Jesus calls Abel a prophet of God. The first person who dishonored Abel was his brother. In fact, he said, am I my brother's keeper? That's what he said. Am I my brother's keeper? So we have to watch how we treat those close to us. The first manifestation of sin was between brothers. That's why in Genesis 13. When, I know, if you read scriptures very well, you will see that thing prevalent. So when Jesus said, brother will hurt, betray, kill brother. It's not new. We have to watch it. Genesis 13. Lot, who was the nephew to Abraham, permitted his, that's what I'm going to say, permitted his staff. Abraham said, no, let there be no strife. We are brethren. So, brother, siblings are kind of the closest people that we can show disregard to the most. Cain and Abel. Let's see another group. Joseph and his brothers. Before we get to Joseph, Jacob and Esau. God definitely chose Jacob. Genesis 25. He chose Jacob. So if God chose Jacob, Esau is supposed to receive from Jacob. Right? He should. Or before then, if you can just mention this one, Isaac and Ishmael. Of course, Ishmael is from another mother, but he's mocking Isaac. Isaac is a servant of God. Who is this? He's mocking Isaac. In Genesis again, 25, God chose Jacob. In 23, the younger, the elder shall serve the younger. And of course, we saw Esau was a man of profane guy, ungodly, feels what's the big deal about my birthright and all of that. However, when the father blessed Jacob, right, in Genesis 27, what did Esau say? Verse 41. Esau hated Jacob. So look at that pattern. The pattern is consistent. Esau hated Jacob. Don't forget, Jacob is God's prophet. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which the father blessed him. And said in his heart, I'm going to kill him. It's so consistent. Sibling rivalry. I'm saying, a brother of yours whom God is using. Rather than receive from Abel, Cain kills him. Rather than receive from Jacob here, Esau goes into hate. Envy. We call in Nigeria, say beef. So I'm going to kill him. And among his own children, Genesis again, Verse 3. Israel loved Joseph, that's Jacob, more than all his children because he was the son of the old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. You can't miss this, guys. They hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now, many people who walk in hate don't admit that's what they're doing. They justify it. If not for the fact that I didn't go to school on time, I'll have been his father now. I'm number one, he's number ten, he's number five, he's number... He says he hated him. He dreamed another dream, they hated him yet the more. They are meant to receive from him. God gave him a revelation. God gave Jacob a mission. God gave Abel a mission. Rather than receive from people, you begin to compare yourself. You begin to hate, dislike. No one will say it's hate. You just say, you will say I hate the person, say, I just don't dig him. That dig is hate. I just don't flow. You know, I don't flow. That flow is hate. And why? Why is it like that? Esau is the firstborn. Cain is the firstborn. Okay? What's the name now? Joseph is not the last boy, second to the last boy. Now, take that away from age and talk about status. Imagine God using someone who is in your family who is not as well traveled as you, as not exposed to education like you, or wealth. That's it. That's why they despise them. And many times God will disappoint us and not follow our bidding. He will use someone else that we did not prepare for. These are siblings. God gave a ministry to Abel that was for Cain. To Jacob that was for Esau. To Joseph for his brothers. What did they do with it? They brought in dishonor, disrespect, hate. Because dishonor will lead to hate. There are people in your family, and I'm saying that to you here, who are close by, that God wants to use for you. But where is your attitude? How do you see people? Do you see people just as family, or you see the hand of God upon their lives? Do you know that God, let me say this to all parents too. Do you know God also called Joseph to rescue Jacob? He could be your son. Not your first boy. Just like he chose David to be king over Jesse. In fact, Jesse did not even remember to mention David's name. God could call your son, your daughter, to bless you. All that while I used to pay your school fees. Who paid your own? Forget that. God's hand is on his life. On her life. Your sibling, your friend, even those that you know their past. Welcome, record keeper. Changes nothing. That's the person God wants to use. Aaron and Miriam. Aaron and Miriam. Numbers. They are Moses' siblings. And 12. Miriam was the midwife. As it were. No, not midwife. Was a caretaker, the caregiver of Moses. And God is using Moses. God is using Miriam too. But not, Miriam is not known like Moses. And that thing can creep into your heart. One of the things you can do for yourself to deliver you to forever from walking out of the love of God is comparisons. Don't make comparisons. It drives you out of the will of God. And parents, be careful. Don't say words like, look at what your mates are doing. And they don't compare you to your mates that have died. Look at what your mates are doing. Look at what, you know, that comparison. Comparison breeds jealousy. Pastor is calling this person all the time to lead prayer. He hasn't called me. Why are you comparing yourself? Has pastor stopped you from praying? You want to lead prayer because you want to be known. That's not, you cannot want to serve God and they say they are not giving you position, then you walk in strife. You never wanted to serve God. It is God that you wanted to serve. Whether they give you position or not, you will serve God. It's love for positions, sir, that brings strife and fame. You can serve God and nobody will see it. You know what I mean, though? Well, see, I attend the prayer group, but nobody sees me. Don't misquote me. You want to be on the pulpit. Who can see you? And God will use anybody. Those close by. Miriam. Now, Moses now, as it were, fell into their trap. I said, as it were, quote me well. Went to marry an Ethiopian. So they said, hey. They said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not also spoken by us? Lord heard it. What was the big deal about his ministry? Now, listen carefully. Anytime you hear the word they, somebody started it. There are people who influence others. We have that in today's world, social media influencers. They just get your brain to be wired. They make you hate who you don't know. They don't need to hate the person. Because they will wire your mind. So, obviously, Miriam was the one that got Aaron to talk like that. Just like Judas got all the other 11 to speak against the woman who poured oil on Jesus. It was Judas that did it. It was Judas that brought about the thought. There's always one person who starts it. Simple conversation. Oh boy, what did you say about that ointment? I checked the thing on Google. It is expensive. Hey, that's expensive. Ah, let me show you. Come. Just you and I. See, in fact, that's not even what she did. Yeah, I go to investigate. She said, that's not right. Now, I was seeing it too. So I just say, I'm walking in strife. I said to call you. And I was like, you know, that's how Judas started it. I got everybody. Who was Judas beefing? Jesus. Oh. That would Jesus be the one. Nah. Me too, I lay hands now. When he sent us, I know he sent us, but it's the same spirit. So, Miriam and Aaron, who should know better? So there's no level you can get to, guys, that you can't walk in the flesh. He will not come in. Just remember, is it only him that the Lord will use? Yet God called Moses to minister to them. Don't make it difficult for those close to you to be used of God for you. Listen, put this down. If you see anybody who is your sibling, your husband, your wife, your cousin, who finds it easier ministering to others than yourself, check your life. Check you. You. Check you. Now, I'm not saying those who are bad. There are some guys that are bad examples. They are really, really bad examples. And it's what it is. I mean, the kind of life they live, it's difficult for them to be of a blessing to others. But I'm not talking about that. There are people who are close to us. They have the gifts of God. How come they bless others? Maybe we're close by. Maybe we know some things people should not know. Or people don't know. And some of us in some places, I know him very well. I know him very well. I know him very well. And what you know is sufficient for you not to know the person. That's bad. I know Jesus said the poor is not without honor except among his own kinfolk. That's not supposed to be the word of God. It's a proverb. The word of God is I live in honor. I respect those that God puts his hand upon. Whether they are younger to me, they are older, they are wealthier, or they are less wealthy, it makes no difference. And you see it. A total disrespect. Because of something in humanity. Age, status. So there's something in humanity that always stands against you in receiving from another. There will be something in humanity. It's not something spiritual. Many times it's nothing spiritual, it's just something in the natural. Somebody told me this, and he wasn't talking about, he became the chief of staff. He's a Christian minister. But he became a chief of staff to, you know, a Nigerian functionary. He not said this. It was one day in his house, and he just mentioned it. He said, I personally do an honor check. He's a Christian, and the person he's serving is a Christian, but not a minister of the gospel. So he said, you know, this man, this is how he said it, I'm going to quote him verbatim. He said, you know, this man, he farts before me. He said, but in my head, I never forget who he is. I don't. So when recently, he got a very important promotion in his own career, and it was because of that relationship, I remember what he told me 8 years ago. He said, no, 7 years ago. He said, I know that God brought this man to my life. I've been close to him. He's my boss. And he can become vulnerable when I'm there. But I know he brought him to my life. So when recently I said, this is a very simple principle. Because you are as good as the relationships that are around you, how you keep them. Are you here? So I was talking about people close to you. Family. Siblings. Spouse. Look at Anna. 1 Samuel and chapter 1. I shared that on Wednesday. Anna had every reason to walk in strife. You know, already the other wife of Elkanah, Penanah, was already making fun of her. The Bible says she provoked her. It was not every day, just be mocking her as a wife. Just wife, not mother. A lot of kind of things, and they be singing some songs. I'm not singing for you. It's just one song my grandmother used to sing, and she was provoked. She would even be praying in the prayer in the devotion. Lord, those looking for fruit of the womb in this family, take the shame from them. Provoked her. That was enough reason for her to have an attitude. Now look at what happened. She went to the temple. In verse 10, she prayed to the Lord. She vowed a vow to the Lord of hosts. Verse 12, she continued praying. So Eli was a priest. Now Eli, unfortunately, also had a bad report in the press because his children were terrible kids. Oh, they are. That pastor that his children smoke weed. That's his name. Big boys now. That pastor that his children smoke weed. That they carry girls, they sleep with them in the church, in his temple. That guy say, hey. So everybody knew it. Now, she's coming from home where she's already provoked to bitterness. She comes to church or the temple where the priest exactly doesn't have a good record. She has enough reasons to have a bad attitude. To now make matters worse. As she was praying, her lips was moving, but she was praying in groanings and burdens. Verse 13, Eli thought she had drunken. Look at 14. Eli said to her, how long will you be drunken? He didn't say, are you drunken? How long? Put away wine from me, something you never saw. You hear and said, look, there are two ways to it. If there are some people, not you, you gotta say, are you blind? Are you blind me? Or is the blindness for me? Yes, dog. No, that one is extreme. Extreme stupidity. So we just say, sorry, sir. I was not drunk. As it goes. Let me go to another temple. Now, she has enough reason. She's already said, I'm provoked at home, provoked in church. Where are you, oh God? She answered, no, my Lord. I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have neither drunk wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not that I'm made in the daughter of Belial, but out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken thereunto. Eli said, I'm sorry. Did he apologize? He says, oh,
Just go in peace. God has answered you. Say, ah,
but you're not even apologizing, sir, for that false accusation.
Now, apology you want to go and burn apology. Hallelujah. No offense to get you offended. Did you hear me? No offense. Let that person deal with God. Never let anything in the natural stand in your way. Now, look up. I want to say something. Do you know that those living around you, in your house, they have made this kind of judgments before? Many times. Right? Or you live with Jesus. They made those kind of judgments. What do you think made Gehazi think that Elisha could miss it? He just got big scope. Ah, Pastor, I just went to do follow-up. Which follow-up? You went after Naaman. He's in the spirit today. You get it? So you have people around you. You see, because you can see the vulnerability, because you live together, they are your siblings, your children. No. God will test you with people around you. Know how to receive from people. Just one thing. I'll tell you what it is. Just one. Walk with them by revelation. Walk with them by what?
Revelation.
Revelation is first of all the written word of God, right? The written word of God. That's the first thing. The second thing. Be led by the Spirit of God. Be led by the Spirit of God. Number one, the written word. Number two, led by the Spirit of God. That is how to walk with people. Even those who live in your house. I'm not saying that's the only way to relate. But let that be primary. In the way you relate with those around you. Because if you have revelation, there's no way you are going to kill Abel. It doesn't make sense. If the Jews knew who Jesus was, those particular Jews and men, they would have killed him. The same thing came into the four Gospels. Miriam and Aaron, who knew, they walked in the flesh eventually. Not the person. By revelation. And one of the ways you know is how you pray for such people. There is nobody, I can say this so very easily, there's nobody that you pray for consistently that you're going to strive against. Nobody. Prayer melts those things out. I'm not saying the kind of prayer that says, Lord, what you have done for me, Lord, visit him. That's not the kind of prayer I'm talking about. Visit him with visitation. You will not tell us what exactly, but something in your heart. You are saying it in tongues. Rubber rot. Is it God Samuel? Look at John 4. So relate with revelation, the written word, and the leading of God's Spirit. One day like that, I was talking to some siblings. They came from a polygamous home. And they were in the ministry together. So I saw something. It wasn't a vision. I just noticed there was this comparison. So I called them. I said, I know this is going to take a lot from you, but you must walk in the Spirit. They're from two different mothers, and obviously, almost I've called the other person, don't eat rice with the meat or something. If they give you a drink, make sure they open it in your presence. Don't let that rub your head. Your head is carrying the glory of God. If they drop it like this, the glory of God go. You've heard those things that you person long ago. And those kind of, I said, look, I told you, I said, look at this movie. There's something. Go and deal with it. Pray for one another. There's a seed of comparison that lies there. So you have to watch it. In John 4, the woman at the well was a Samaritan. As soon as Jesus spoke to her by giving drink in verse 7, she said, how is it that you being a Jew ask me, which I'm a woman of Samaria, which means there's something in the culture, traditions,
But you know what she did? She kept talking to Jesus. At the end of the day, look at where the conversation was. She said in verse 29, "Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ?" Someone from a tribe that had been painted black to her is the person God used to tell her her entire life. So you have to walk away from tribal issues, cultural issues, right? Anything in the natural that causes that divide, a close here, must be taken away. Learn to receive from people around you. Walk away from it. Walk away from knowing about people's past. Walk away from, you know, knowing people who they are in the flesh. Stay with your knowledge. Stick with revelation knowledge. Stick with what God is doing. Stick with the word of God. That is how to receive from those around you. And do it often. The more you pray for people who live with you. Because oftentimes, people who are our siblings and our spouse, they are the last in our prayer list. You have prayed for all your disciples. Pray for all your church members. Pray for, then you just say, "I thank God. I thank you for my husband. Abba, thank you. I thank you for my wife. I thank you." The other one is not thankful. You are praying and praying in the spirit and groaning. "I thank you for my brother, my sister. Your word is working." Someone told me the way I pray for my siblings, "Lord, perfect anything they are doing." I say, "Anything?" Because there's already beef. Strife. Open your... There was a family who told me last night, listen to the teaching we taught in church. You know, and the couples, they pastor together in another city. And they said to me, they said, last day when we were talking about praying for families, that it was then they knew there was a problem in their family. And the man, the pastor now, said he had to pray. That's how they broke. That was 2012. That's like a 10-year issue in their home. Pray. Pray for the person. Don't forget. Stay in the spirit. Stay with revelation knowledge about the person. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, know him no more. Cornelius broke the barrier. The woman at the well broke the barrier. Walk away from that barrier and receive from those that God has sent to you, whether they are siblings, colleagues at work, friends, family friends, childhood friends. I've told you this over the years. You can never choose whom God is going to use. You can only choose your own attitude. So before you strive with your husband or your wife or your siblings, know the implications. Strife always steals God's blessings. Strife always steals the move of God from us. Be open to receive our hope, okay? And anywhere you are. Continuing this in another series we're going to start later next month. You blessed. Let's stand to our feet and bless the Lord.